We are continuing to study the article Peace in the World by Bala Sulam from the book Brich Chacham, Food of Wisdom, Articles, page 74, section In Practical Life, the Four Attributes Contradict One Another. You can also find it on the site, Peace in the World. We said that we have the attribute of truth. That's the true attribute that controls reality. It's the attribute of the Creator, the upper force, total bestowal. And from that, total understanding of everything that there is in creation. Because only by bestowing, by exiting myself and discerning all of reality outside of me without any thought of myself, so it doesn't come back to me, and that's why I weigh this and that and measure research, then I can really know the truth. That is why truth is the attribute of bestowal, of the Creator, bestowal, endless bestowal. It helps us see the truth, not because in bestowal in and of itself there is truth, but truth is with respect to our falsehood, where we, in order to see truth, have to transcend above our egoistic nature. And because we cannot do it in everyday life, and that's why that's what it means by practical life, we invented other attributes. Of course, they are lame, but they somehow help us, these attributes, build our reality and to be in contact between us. Our society somehow operates and this way, from above, we get these three attributes. If we use them, we gradually come to see the falsehood about them, and through them, we will need the attribute of truth, of peace, sorry. In the meantime, we have to show ourselves that in practical life, these four attributes contradict one another. So, in practical life, these four attributes contradict one another. If the above practical difficulties, which disturb us helpless people on our way, are not enough, we have, in addition, a further mix-up and great battle of the psychological predispositions, meaning the attributes themselves, within each and every one of us, individually, and in contradiction from one person to another. For the above attributes, mercy, truth, justice, and peace, which were divided in the nature of people, whether by development or by upbringing, they in and of themselves stand in contradiction to one another. A human being consists of two parts, essentially. One part is those rishimot, inclinations, character, genes that are in us at birth, from previous lives, from the root of our soul, where everything that we experienced, we came down from our roots in Adam Rishon. In Adam Rishon, each of us, yes. And let's say we went through that many life cycles. And in the roots, we had some original attributes. But afterwards, through our incarnations in each incarnation, we added, besides our genes, rishimot. Let's use terms that we use in Kabbalah. So, in addition to the inner discernment, there's the outer discernment, which is the influence of the society. Society are my parents, the kindergarten, school, army, press, society, television, everything there is. It's all society. So I get interior things that, and interior shemot that evolve according to society. And society can only develop what I have inside, not anything else. So shemot already inside, and I can develop my inner shemot not more than what society enables me to develop. So there's reciprocal work here between what I have inside, the shemot genes, and the influence of the society. But what I completed in some life, yes, those were my life, and here I died, yes, and here I was born again. So everything that we had, the genes that I'd received at the root of our soul, of my soul per se, and the impressions that I'd received from the influence of the society, all of that becomes reshimo, an inner reshimo. That's one, and there it was 1-0, and that's 2-0, and that's 1-1. So again, I have the environment here, which influences me. Once more, I cannot be detached from society. I can only cultivate myself, develop myself through society, and not more than society, etc. Until I come to being alive, I'm born, I live, I die, and here when I'm born, I have a reshimo, 1.2 from life number 3. To life number 3. So every time we go through life, all of the reshimot, the impressions, the influence of the society, and whatever we were or were not, all of that is included and comes to me as the original reshimot. Just look at how important it is what societies we were in and what we did and how we evolved. But for the time being, we can't control it. Whatever happened, happened the way it should have happened. That's what we say, what we should say every moment. So let's say now I'm developing. I was now born. I have a reshimo. And if now I come to choose a society, which I didn't have or did have before, I don't know. So I have a reshimo and I have the environment, yes? This is what I have here at my disposal. This is, that's the first element, and that's the second element. Let's say this is here, I was already M times, and this is N times of being alive, yes? So now that's what I have at my disposal. So he tells us, read again from the beginning. Again, if the above practical difficulties which disturb us helpless people on our way are not enough, we have, in addition, a further mix-up and great battle of the psychological predispositions, meaning the attributes themselves within each and every one of us individually and in contradiction from one person to another. For the above four attributes, mercy, truth, justice, and peace, which were divided in the nature of people, whether by development or by upbringing, they, in and of themselves, stand in contradiction to one another. And if we take, for example, the attribute of mercy in an abstract form, we find its government to contradict all other attributes, meaning that by the laws of the rule of mercy, there is no place for the appearance of other attributes in our world. Why? Because mercy doesn't ask of anything from others, and mercy says you have to give to others, and that's it. It's as if it completely neutralizes every calculation. And then, is it okay? Is this bestowal? Yes. But can we live in the world with that? If we're all corrected, and everyone relates to one another in complete attribute of truth, then it would be correct. But that would not be the attribute of mercy anymore. It would be mercy that comes on top of all the corrections in a person, on top of all of the will to receive in a person. Yes, what? According to what you're saying, if a person is in a state of mercy and feels what is described in this paragraph, he wouldn't want to go on. He's in this regularity, he doesn't want to continue. That is why we are not in this attribute in our world. In the mercy that he talks about, mercy in our, for us, you know, it's to somehow try and not ruin the world. What parents sometimes do with their parents is they give without any consideration. In that, they ruin their children, because then he doesn't know where he has to grow, in what extent, in what discernments. He doesn't have any discernments. Everything, I just take. He won't grow. What will give him impressions of good, bad, near, far, anything? All of our discernments in our kelim are whether I feel good or bad, yes, when we grow. So if it's not allowed to feel anything bad, in no way, absolutely nothing, he'll remain a fool, like a cocoon. So look at, for example, the British upbringing, yes? Were you ever in England? You weren't. I was there. And it was interesting for me to see how they are very tough with their kids. They pay 12 or 15,000 pounds a year tuition. These are very wealthy people, to put their kids under this special upbringing. The upbringing is a room, say like here, without any heating. The tables and the benches are made of wood from maybe 500 years ago, plates that you wouldn't eat from, with cracks and whatnot. In the morning, they take a cold shower. They all have to do it, and that's in England. It's not that pleasant in wintertime. And they study, they get a good rubbing. And these are kids from very wealthy families. Because they see that if a child is not brought up roughly, he's then not connected to life. He's not fit for life. They don't have a choice. That's why the attribute of truth is the most destructive. It doesn't let a person develop. We see blind love, yes? We see what it does in our life. What is the attribute of mercy? Our sages defined it as what's mine is yours and what's yours is yours. And if all the people in the world were to behave that way, it would cancel all the glory of the attribute of truth and judgment. Because if each and every one would be naturally willing to give everything he has to his fellow man and take nothing of another for himself, then the whole interest in lying to one another would disappear. Why? Because it's not according to attributes, it's not according to the states. By that, we completely eradicate the person as a personality. Who he is, what he is, what situation is he in, what degree he is. Just look at how our mind is working incorrectly with respect to these attributes. What seems to us as good is the worst element. It is written in the Torah that he who does not punish his son hates his son. What did the parents do with you? They loved you, huh? Well. And there would be no room to speak of the attribute of truth whatsoever, because true and false are relative, and if there were no falsehood in the world, there would be no concept of truth. Needless to say, the other attributes that are there only to strengthen the attribute of truth because of its weakness would also be cancelled. Truth is defined in the words, what's mine is mine and what's yours is yours. That contradicts the attribute of mercy and cannot altogether tolerate it, because in truth it is unjust to labor and strain for another, because besides causing his friend to fail, he accustoms him to exploit his fellow man. Thus, truth dictates that every person treasure his own assets for a time of need, so he will not have to be a burden on his fellow man. You see how differently they're saying that they're speaking? What's mine is mine, what's yours is yours, is correct. Why not? I receive everything that the Creator created. Why did He make you this way and me that way? And if you deserve according to the way He brought you up and designed your attributes, and He designed you in such a way that this is what you gain and that's what you deserve, so that's what you deserve. How can I interfere with what the upper force built? So each and every one must work with his own nature, and whatever he receives eventually is his, and he's forbidden to give it to another. He's forbidden, because by that he breaks the rules of the world. And if he does the opposite, what's mine is yours, what's yours is yours, and everything, he causes even greater harm to the other. By that he ruins the other. He stops the other from developing, from annulment, from reaching his place of stance. Yes? Of course he's being brief here, and there's a lot more to add here, but just to understand these attributes basically, we don't get into philosophy, or as he puts it, psychology, because it's a topic for a lot of research. But for the time being, where we need it, we just get into the niche. I don't understand what is the attribute of truth. Where is it rooted? The attribute of truth is rooted in the rules of the real nature, that we have to behave accordingly. That's how we have to behave. We have the attribute of judgment, we have the attribute of truth. Behave accordingly. What does it mean that you want to ruin it through your mercy? What is mercy? Because you don't want to suffer. So, because you're an egoist and don't want to suffer, you're not with respect to you, but with respect to the whole world, you start changing the right order and the right division. Yes. I was asking from a different direction. If what's mine is mine, then what's yours is mine too. If I want to receive, I can receive. If I want to give, I want to give everything. What does it mean? That it, why is it half? What's mine is mine, what's yours is yours. All right. What's mine is mine, what's yours is yours isn't about property, actually. As about what a person attains, assesses, and enjoys according to my kelim, according to his kelim. I can't enjoy what you acquire. And I enjoy only in my own kelim, which I acquired. We're talking about the spiritual, absolute attribute of truth. How can it be that if I developed a taste, a liking for some special fruits that I didn't have any desire for to begin with, on the contrary, so now I can bring you the fruit and you will enjoy it. You can't enjoy it because I developed it with my effort, with my understanding. Through a very long way, I developed within me the kelim to discern, the sensors to feel it, the kelim in my mind to feel things, to register them, there to record them. So now I receive it a second time or a third time, so I remember and I compare it with what I have, with my memory. So that from that I enjoy. You can give me the best thing. But if it's for the first time and it's completely different, it doesn't remind me of anything, I don't see it as good. I don't see it as good. I need to learn a whole lot to have the impression of it, and then with respect to that impression, I will feel that this and this and that is good. So the attribute of truth says this: what's yours is yours, what's mine is mine, it can't be any other way. When I want to eat what you have, that's already in our world, in the framework of our world, the attribute of truth. But the real attribute of truth in itself says that every kli deserves what it has. The abundance is in complete rest. That's why it's called abundance. It's everything and it's meant to you and in every place, whatever you want. You just have to want. Yes. I have two things. First of all, doesn't it stop the one who teaches to teach and the one to share with him? And the second is, doesn't it contradict love their friend as theirself? Well, he told us to begin with that these four attributes contradict one another. But in a practical life, these four attributes contradict one another. So, what? You want to tell me that he's right? Okay, he's right. But we don't have a choice. Our trouble is that we don't have a choice because we are not in the attribute of truth. We don't see and don't feel the real picture. We have to use all these four attributes. We don't have any way to avoid using them. We don't. We don't have a choice. So we end up being lame on all four legs. Moreover, there is not a person without relatives and heirs that in fact should come before others, because so nature dictates that he who gives his property to others lies to his relatives and natural heirs by not leaving them anything. In that too, there are many, there's a lot to add and discuss. Why, how, what does it mean, relatives? Why do I owe them? Only according to norms in my surroundings? Why can't I give it to some national fund or something? The Torah says that your relatives come first. And it creates an order of close and far, a clear order. So this order that's given to us in advance, naturally and artificially, you might say, but it's actually naturally, in the whole society, in the culture, comes to us from the attribute of truth. Yes. And peace also contradicts justice, because in order to make peace in society, there has to be the conditions. There have to be the conditions that, by content, promise the nimble and the smart, which invest their energy and wisdom to become rich, and those who are negligent and naive to be poor. Hence, he who is more energetic takes his own part and the part of his negligent friend and enjoys a better life, until there is not enough left for the negligent and naive to merely supply for their necessary livelihood, and therefore they remain completely bare in many ways. Meaning, if we allow our society to evolve only according to the shrewdness and hard working of people, then it'll be divided very sharply to successful people and failing people, in such a way that some will have a whole lot and others will have nothing but just a piece of bread to just live and add more to those who are succeeding. If we go according to that line without any mercy and without any compassion. But because we want peace, the successful ones begin to corrupt truth and share with the unsuccessful, who by birth are a little lazy and are relaxed by nature. That's why they're like that. But if you start bringing out the necessary things from them, and for lack of a better choice, they'll jump at you. So the hard work, you don't have a choice but to share with common workers, yes? And by doing that, they ruin society. They give those who don't deserve it more than they don't deserve. You see in New York the strike that they have there, yes? Their union is no better than our private. At least he's got a mustache. I don't know who's leading those guys, but look at what they're doing. What do they want? Yes, we deserve. Why do you deserve? If you did it, if you fought correctly according to your bravery, according to your strength, yes, then you would come to what you deserve. Now you're asking for something you don't deserve. And that's how it is. So through mercy and peace, we ruin the real picture of the world in our life. And if you go out to the street and say it, they'll say you're a heartless, ruthless person, you're anti-human, you're inhumane, who are you, what are you? You won't be able to explain to them that this mercy brings ruin. So what are we doing? You can't do with it, you can't do without it. Go on. It is certainly unjust to punish the negligent and the naive so harshly for no evil. For what is their sin and what is their crime? What is the crime of those wretched people if Providence didn't give them quickness and brains that they should be punished with such harsh torments that are indeed harsher than death? Therefore, there is no justice in the conditions of peace. Peace contradicts justice. So, the Creator is to blame for everything, right? Whatever you say, who created this whole thing, who designed it, and who leads it all? the upper force, as he says. So, why is it the fault of those wretched people if Providence didn't give them more than it gave them, and that's why they suffer? Yes, and justice contradicts peace. Because if we order the division of property justly, meaning give to the negligent and naive substantial of the part that the nimble and then energetic have, then the powerful and initiative people will certainly not rest until they overthrow the government that enslaves the great ones, the energetic ones, and exploits them in favor of the weak. Therefore, there is no hope for the peace of the collective, for justice contradicts peace. You understand? So we are in these four attributes, four measures, where everyone has a positive and a negative side, and that is why they are related this way in society. If you speak to a strong person, why should I give to the weak? The weak come to me with quantity. The strong, the smart, the nimble are few. And the weak are many. So the weak come together. They come with arms or sticks or whatever to the successful. And then the successful says, yes, I have to share it. As if it's right. They don't have a choice. They want peace. So they act with the attribute of truth, seemingly, and justice and ruin everything even more than the failing. Because they're beginning to give them compensation, fulfillment. Where without it, they're afraid that they'll be harmed. And with it, they calm them down and don't let them develop. We see it on those immigrants in France, right? They're giving social insurance. They don't have to work. They don't have to do anything. What are they going to do all day? So that's what they do. The second generation is a completely demented generation there. They don't understand anything else, this generation. I deserve what I deserve every month. Work? What do you mean work? I get social security for the rest of my life. In that, people are ruined. They can't progress. Who benefits in the end, in our life? Those who don't have anything. They, out of frustration and out of lack, can evolve. Countries that have great treasures, a lot of raw materials, like oil, and etc., they ruin themselves when they use these treasures, these raw materials, because they get for free. Yes, it's all free. I stick a hose in the ground, take oil out, and sell it just off the ground, right? It's as if I'm selling air. And that ruins the one who sells. And after a generation or two, you begin to feel it. The British, their upbringing, their education is really special. It's even written in the Torah that a father must never show his child that he's got assets. A child has to grow like the environment and even less. Otherwise, you ruin them. You stop their evolution. You prevent them from developing. What for? He only sits and waits to have his father's properties, and that's it. I'll just have to pay the lawyer or whatever, and then the rest is mine. So I'll wait for it. So he won't progress. Yes. Why did Balaslam hope that we have a socialistic state? Not just socialistic. Soon we'll publish the book, The Future Generation. So it's not only socialistic, communist. A communist state, not Karl Marx communism, which he criticizes, and not the utopian communism or the kibbutzim, which he criticized back in the 30s. And his story of his meetings with Ben-Gurion and how he insisted that we have to go to altruistic communism, not like in Russia, which we see what happened with it. Otherwise, we don't feel what it is. We don't know what he meant by his definition of communism or socialism. We don't know. We have to learn it. The words, we perceive them, we associate them with our own understanding. But he was, you might say, he was a communist, a socialist, per se. Why? Because the relationship between people, even without the Creator in the picture, and don't worry about the Creator here, he'll get into the picture. So the relationship between people should be as communism describes. They should be like brothers to one another. Everyone should have equal division, each according to his needs, each according to his ability, That's the attribute of truth. Each according to his ability, in whatever, however he was born, in whatever conditions he's in, however he was brought up. After everything you have from the Rashimot and the influence of the environment, we say that's the person, yes? Not what depends on me. So you come to me and say, I know who you are, what you are, and how much you can. And only according to that will we ask of you, what could be better? I'm not ashamed. And I can. That's what communism demands, the attribute of truth. So of course, Bala Sulam is in favor of it. And a commune isn't a bad word. A commune means that we're all as one man and one heart. As components in one system where each cares for the well-being of the whole system and each must do what the system asks, meaning the general purpose of the whole system, and from that he gets his complete and wholesome livelihood only this way. Just like our body persists, just like the still vegetative and animate exists, so man, in the speaking degree, must consciously, willingly build the same reciprocal system like cells in a body. So, of course, according to the attribute of truth, and according to the calculation of from each according to his ability, to each according to his needs. And in this integrated system, each person doesn't need more than what he needs to exist. And from each according to his ability, he must give to the others. So what will he have? He'll have the general life of the whole system, which is called Creator, Emanator. That's what you would obtain, each and every one. You understand? When I receive the minimum, yes, receive the minimum from society, yes, and give to society the maximum to society, and it's like here the system is closed, it's a closed system. That's incorrect because I get the minimum sustenance in order to give it this maximum. But besides that, I already receive it from the whole system. And then what I get, along with the minimum that I need for sustenance, I receive the thought of creation, the general force of the Creator. That's what I get, and that's the meaning of life, real life, not existence. This is just my existence, but life. That's the degree that I rise to by acquiring this system. Take any cell in a body. It receives what it needs, instructions, and the materials. And the rest it does for the body. It constantly emits into the body things that the body needs. But because of that, it lives as a part of the body. And the whole body belongs to it. It belongs to the body. If you harm any cell, the whole body feels it, and it provides materials and everything to help it. And if you take that cell and put it in of itself, you'll see that it's egoistic. It wants to persist. If it doesn't feel the body, if it doesn't feel the system, it becomes immediately egoistic. So our whole problem is that we are detached from the environment. There's like a shield here called the ego that stops me from feeling the environment. I don't feel belonging to the system. And that's the problem. So what do I have? I seemingly have sustenance. I eat, I drink, I take from society everything. But I take not the minimum that I need, but I receive things that are beyond what I need. And by that, I become a cancer. I become cancerous. That makes me cancerous. I eat up the environment. I take something that I don't deserve. That's called eating up the environment. So each and every one of us functions this way. That is why, look what's happening with diseases, yes? Physically, just look at how common this sickness has become. And people think it's because of radioactivity or radiation or something. It's all nonsense. These are all results. The emission of radiation is also a result of our functioning this way. So cancer, how do you explain that a child gets cancer? What is a child? If he came after all these lives, what kind of a child is he? He's not a child. Don't look at the age. It's a result of previous lives. You say that socialism failed in Russia because it wasn't the picture of the Creator. Now you're saying we don't need the picture of the Creator. We can create communism and the Creator will appear. If they had acted correctly, socialists and the communists in Russia and in Israel, of course, it wouldn't be any problem to see in their actions the upper force. It didn't work correctly. We'll talk about it. You can't come to people and say, the Creator says, compels this force, compels you. Yeah, it said, and it'll do it, etc. You can't come to a person and say that my faith in the upper force now compels me, tells me to create communism. Why? Who would agree with you? Right? On the contrary, you have to come to a person and explain to him realistically. And that's what the wisdom of Kabbalah says. You have to show them logically that all our systems in this world are altruistic systems. In the body, in the whole system of nature, besides man, who is the only destructive element, the cancerous element in the whole system. And you can explain that regardless of the upper force or the creator. Just so people understand and see that it is worth their while. And Baal HaSulam, in the book The Last Generation that Wilson published, says that we even have to pay people to advertise agencies. We have to take agents to pay them. Yes, not because they feel like it, to go and explain in, you know, those pretty words, explain to the world how the attribute of bestowal is good for them, is worth their while, because we come from lo lishma to lishma. I'm not saying it's the full explanation. There are many questions here. But if you come to a person with the Creator in your hand, that's wrong. You can come to them only according to their level. And it's not that today we're in an incorrect situation. The correct situation is that we're completely detached from spirituality. And that is why we have to turn to Him in the same way. And that's the best state for correction, because we're not fanatic, and he's not going toward it fanatically, and he's not going toward it because he's subjugated to before the Great One. Both things are bad. It's not good for the creature to discover the Creator. It doesn't leave the creatures with freedom of choice. And the orthodox upbringing is not good for the creatures. It stops the creatures from free evolvement with freedom of choice. So it is the ordinary person who does not believe, a person off the streets who has his difficulties and doesn't understand the world and how it functions, how one should function, how it should function in the world, that person, without a point in the heart, that person will hear us. Yes. If for the individual this is not a simple process, he comes and is thrown out and it's got scrutiny, so the collective has to have a great power here to succeed in going through this process. No. On the contrary, the collective is a collection of individuals, and if these individuals come together, they suddenly discover the huge force, power that they have, huge power. And that power, when it comes together, is not times the number of people in society. I'm in society with 20 more people. So now I'm connected to those 20. Well, 19, never mind, 20. So I have my own force plus 20 other forces. But these 20 other forces, each of them is also connected to 20. So we get 20 each. 20 times 20, that's 400. But when we start connecting to each other, when I connect to all those 20, that's me connecting, and now I turn to society with the 20 times stronger force that I have, which is already me. And everyone has this 20 times more power that we all have, so it's 400 times 400. Just look at the progress we have here. Each next degree is so much greater than the previous. There are several formula here, mathematical formula. There's also a logarithmic formula. Do you remember it from school? Yes. two questions. One, we said that each receives the minimum, and each has his own minimum. How do you prevent envy? Guys, when we have this problem, we'll work it out. I'm telling you, Baal HaSulam writes about it the way he wrote it. These are writings. He didn't publish them as an article. He writes it very clearly. Yes, in his writing. We just need to understand it still. Actually, there are things that bring up many questions. I can't say that I understand very clearly to the fullest depth. Yes, how do I know it all? I have questions that actually they're still open. But I see, according to how we advance, you advance, you see 5 yards ahead of you, then you advance. You see another 5 yards ahead of you, then you advance. It's like you use the flashlight to light your way. So there are questions, you can't help it. But as we advance, you'll see that they become clearer. And you will understand by what you experience how to move on. Another question concerning mercy. How is it expressed? Instead of giving a person a fish, you give him the rod. How does that sit with the definition of mercy? You give the person the kli to learn, the tool to learn. How does that sit with the four attributes? Are you talking about our work? Instead of giving to a person, I'll teach him that he has to learn in order to receive. I don't understand you. You are now in the world Ein Sof. You come to me as a sick person and tells me, I don't feel Ein Sof. And I give you the kelim and tell you, you need to correct something in yourself. You have to turn this knob, you have to weld this here, you have to do this. Correct the system and you'll feel your Ein Sof. How can I do that on the outside? You have to do it on your own. What is the present that I give you? I just give you a system how to correct yourself. You are in Ein Sof already. I can't bring you any other gifts. Because besides that, everything is already present. You're in it all the time. Now you have a broken machine that doesn't see where it is. It's in the treasure. Completely. But it can't feel it. So how can I give you anything besides the method, besides the instructions, how to correct yourself? That's what the wisdom of Kabbalah does. Yes. I wanted to ask about what we said before. A rich person, or one who has more honor than other people in society, does it mean that his desire for money is greater than one who doesn't have money, or that his desire for honor is greater than one who doesn't have honor? Anyone who wants to reach anything directly, once he reaches it, he seemingly reaches it. What he reaches builds a doubly desire. As it says, no one dies with half what he wanted in his hand. And that's because he seemingly gets the light, and the light that enters the kli and can't enter it, then the kli is empty, and the light that seemingly comes and didn't enter leaves them with a double need from the light and from the kli. So those who chase, doesn't matter what, remain empty. Because the kelim, our vessels of reception to begin with, are not intended to receive and to be filled. Ever. Because if the pleasure had entered the desire, it would neutralize the desire. And then you wouldn't feel any pleasure. And this way you see the whole world. There's abundance in the world. what's missing. What we throw away, people would live off it in the past and enjoy. You go into a store, you don't know what to buy. And there is money to buy. No one is really hungry compared to previous generations. We are hungrier and sadder than they were. Take some simple folk. They're happy. Everything's fine. Take a more evolved person, he is more frustrated. You add knowledge, you add pain. So of course we can fill ourselves only through the method of Kabbalah. How to receive, that's what we have to know. With what wisdom, how, what form are we meant to receive? We are meant to receive, but we have to have the method. It's not directly the way we think it should be. So here we don't have a choice. Yes. So how come not everyone die rich? I get what I wanted. I get a double desire. So how come we're not all dying rich? Or people come each according to however they can realize themselves with their internal external conditions. You have what you want, you have the influence of the environment, culture, education, school, etc., and the pressure of on the part of society on your inner attributes, to the extent that you are proud and lustrous, etc. Well, I wouldn't. So, in the end, you end up realizing yourself to the maximum. You see how much it is worthwhile for you to be. How much it is all worthwhile for you. You don't go for all your desires. You calculate. And here, some money, here some honor, here some this, here some that. So in the end, we work according to our desires. And that will be the end of our lesson, and we'll continue it. That completes our lesson. We thank our viewers. Have a good day or a good night.